at the cost of them. So, I mean, to me, that's like a very direct but covert form of population control that they've got going on. And the people, there's so many levels of bondage and enslavement going on. And, you know, because we're becoming more of a connected world, thanks to the internet, you know, all this information is out there and people are putting pieces of the puzzle together and, you know,
and sleeping in
reality parks. Is like, you know, becoming visible because they've had decades and centuries to set up like this false illusory, like what is reality for people. And now to me, it's getting to a point that they're transitioning into a future that is going to have, you know, higher levels of control and enslavement that, you know, are on the, you know, levels that it would make George Orwell wince. And, yeah.
That seems to be the way we're going. And I mean, we can see that with the signing of bills like the NDAA into law and other bills. And ACTA is on the table. And if you don't know, SOPA has been sneaked back in by Harry Reid as well under a new name. So look out for that to show up once again and for folks to respond in kind. There is much going on. We wanted to spend some time talking about Greece. We don't have much time left in the program, but the people of Greece are standing up to the austerity measures in a very physical way and fighting back. What have you two to report in that regard?
The people are not acquiescing to tyranny. It's my opinion that the IMF and World Bank are, you know, trapping countries in debt. And I mean, look at what's occurred. I mean, to me, something that was like very like glanced over was the 43 people in parliament, in Greek parliament, that voted against the bill, basically voted for the people. They were all fired. So, like, they're setting up a our way or the highway, like, fascist system. That's number one. Number two, I like to draw attention to Iceland, the one country, government, that did not acquiesce to the IMF and the World Bank. They said,
we're not paying you them loans back. We didn't take them out. The bankers did.
Exactly.
And then they arrested two of the billionaires who were responsible for putting their economy in that state.
And bankers fled, and now they're creating their a new constitution that is being crowdsourced and created through the people of Iceland. And, you know, we'll see what happens. October 1st is when we look to it being ratified.
And so there is another way. There's another way.
There is.
And the interesting thing is that our mainstream media has left that story out completely.
Oh, yeah.
They're not going to tell you the story where the people stood up, didn't pay the IMF back, and arrested billionaires. That's why WBAI is here, folks. This is Occupy Wall Street Radio. We want to say thank you to our engineer, Michael G. Haskins. We want to say thank you to our technical producer, Reggie Johnson. And stay tuned next for Off the Hook with Emmanuel Goldstein.
searching for the ghost of Tom Jones. Lights up a bud and takes a drag. He's waiting for the time when the last shall be first and the first shall be last. In a cardboard box sleep the underpass. With a one-way ticket to the promised land.
It's 1900 hours. You're listening to WBAI New York. It's time once again for another exciting edition of Off the Hook. And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Hook. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Wednesday evening. Joined tonight by Mike.
Hello.
Rob T. Firefly.
Good evening.
Red Hack.
Howdy.
Jim.
Hello.
Down in Philadelphia. Bernie S.
Greetings from Philadelphia.
And it's been another fun week. Actually, it's been another fun 2 weeks. We haven't been on since February the 1st. I want to thank everybody who called in on that show and pledged to keep the station going. You did a very good job. We raised, I think, around $2,000. And you'll be pleased to know we already delivered the premiums to the radio station. So, yeah, it's moving fast. It really is. It's incredible. And tonight we have another special program, completely different than we did 2 weeks ago. And I think you're going to like this a lot. You might like this so much that even if you did pledge 2 weeks ago, you're going to pledge again because this material is just that awesome. And then in 2 weeks, we're not on next week, but in 2 weeks we'll be on for 2 hours, and we have a as yet unplanned show that we're going to do something really special to finish off this winter fundraiser. The fundraisers are essential. They're necessary. I know people don't like hearing other people asking for money on the radio, but imagine what you would hear instead if we didn't do this. You'd hear, well, you know what, just turn to any other station, and that's what you'll hear instead of the sounds of WBAI. And I know that we talk about things that are dear to the hearts of so many of you, so many of us. And over the years, since we've been on the air, since we started back in 1988, there is so much history that has been accomplished through this radio show, this one show. And when you consider that there are something like over 100 radio shows on this station per week, you get a sense as to the magnitude of the importance of this place. And then consider that it's been going on since 1960. And how can you not call 212-209-2950 and say, yes, I support what you guys are doing, and I want it to continue. Now, that's what I think it's about.
There's no way, basically.
No, I don't see you on the phone, though, Mike.
I'm on the radio.
Okay. After the radio, I expect to see you make a phone call to the radio station down the hall.
I could just walk there, you know.
You could just walk there, but as you said, you're on the radio.
But our listeners can't, so they should give us a call, 212-209-2950, and pledge by telephone.
I miss Monroe. Now, the reason I say that is because when you said the phone number just now, he used to always get on me for saying O instead of zero or something like that. Or it was either one of the two I was saying, he didn't like the way I was saying it. That's Monroe, one of our longtime listeners who I think listened to the station for as long as it was on the air, who passed away last December. In fact, we even had a memorial for him on the radio a couple of weeks ago. That's how amazing this place is, that a listener who admittedly annoyed the hell out of everybody who did a radio show here at the station was so endearing to us that we felt he deserved a couple hours in prime time just to go over the history, because that's a part of it. The conflict, annoyances, differences, it's all a part of what WBAI is. That's the magic of this place.
So you're saying he would prefer me to advise our listeners to call 212-209-2950.
I don't know. I don't remember. And you can no longer ask him. I guess I'd have to go back into the archives and see when he was getting on my case for saying it improperly, in his opinion.
Between the way I said it before and the way I just said it, our listeners really have no excuse.
No. Well, they do have one excuse. One excuse is that they have no idea what it is that we're going to be doing tonight. And maybe we should get into that. And that way, listeners will have an idea of just why. That's not really the reason why. The reason why is because you want to support the radio station. But we try to make it a bit easier for you by offering you these gifts in exchange. And but the real reason is the radio station. You get the radio station. It's always there. I can't read that, Mike, because you scribbled something and it's four different things written on a piece of paper.
It's the last thing on that piece of paper is the thing. But we have all kinds of people who are on the phone to talk to us.
But apparently not Bernie anymore.
No.
Well, why'd you call him back?
I can only do so many things at a time, you know?
Well, let's see how many you can do.
All right.
Try calling Bernie. Bernie, if you're out there in radio land somewhere, don't hang up the phone. And if you're using a phone company, don't use the ones that don't have signal. the challenges that we face over the years, it's incredible. It really is. Okay, as soon as you get Bernie back, we'll launch into what we're going to be doing tonight. We have a lot of interactive things going on. We have people playing with equipment over there. Rob, I think you've got something up, but we're not going to tell what you're doing yet. That's a surprise. But can you make a noise with that thing?
I can make a noise with this thing, and some of the technical folks out there might recognize this noise.
Okay.
Let's see if I...
Wow. Yeah, well, Mike jumped out of his skin. I think you recognize that noise.
It's a beep, is what it
well,
is.
It's more than just a beep, but okay, that's part of what we're offering tonight as thank yous for people who call in and support the radio program. Now, did you get Bernie back?
No, I did not.
Bernie is not back. Okay, well, you know what? We don't need him. We don't need him. Now, keep trying if you can, or maybe Bernie will call in. Maybe something.
But we have. Can I say who else we have on the line?
Go ahead.
We have John Batesel on the line.
We have John Batesel on the line. John, are you with us?
Hello. How are you?
We're good. We're good. Now, people might ask, who is John Batesel? Well, we're going to tell you who he is. He's actually been on the radio station or the radio show one time before. So those of you who are really paying attention will know that he was a co-author of a book on Legos that we gave away last autumn, I believe. And he didn't stop there, though. He went on and wrote another book. This book is all about hackerspaces and hackerspace projects and various things like that. It's called Hack This, 24 incredible hackerspace projects from the DIY movement. Do I have all that correct, John?
Yep, that sounds right to me.
Okay. Now, where are you based?
In Minneapolis.
Minneapolis. Now, tell us something about the history of this book. How did it come about?
Well, I was tossing around the idea of writing another book because I was just finishing up with Cult of Lego, and since I had joined a hackerspace and was really enjoying it, and there didn't seem to be any other books on the subject out, I decided to write one.
I know you didn't say that. Okay, this might be Bernie coming back to us. Bernie, are you there?
I'm here. Sorry,
oh, I love technology. This is awesome. I'm sorry about that, John. But continue with the name of the hackerspace in Minneapolis that you were part of. What was that?
It's called the Hack Factory, and it's run by an organization called Twin City Maker.
Very cool. There are hackerspaces all over the place. They might care to name a couple, maybe in the area. Rob,
well,
yes.
Here in New York, we have a number of them. We have NYC Resistor, mm-hmm. which is a big one. We have Alpha One Labs.
Mm-hmm.
There are some other up and coming ones scattered about.
What about in Philadelphia, Bernie?
We have the Hacktory, and we have Hive 76.
Okay, and how about in Fairbanks, Mike?
In Fairbanks? I don't know.
Oh, everyone else had something to contribute. I just was trying to...
I've never been to Fairbanks.
Well, maybe it's about time, but I'm sure there's a hackerspace in Fairbanks.
I can call Fairbanks right now and find out if you want.
Maybe Greg Newby can help us with this. He's our resident Alaska native. But the point is, hackerspaces have exploded in the past... Well, let me rephrase that. Hackerspaces have gained a lot of popularity in the last few years. John, let me ask you, why do you think this is? What is it about the current day that lends itself to a proliferation of hackerspaces?
I think it could be just like a shift away from the 90s thing of the of constant acquisition, and instead of getting more stuff, which, you know, the economy is bad, we can't really afford it anyway, we decided to maybe make some stuff instead. A lot of the hackerspaces are all about woodcrafts and welding and stuff like that that doesn't necessarily involve, you know, programming or electronics or anything like that.
Hang on, we're going to try and troubleshoot this echoey sound. If we can just put Bernie on hold temporarily and see if that's causing this problem. Johnny, with us? Is anybody with us?
I'm still here.
Okay, and you notice the sound is gone, so it's caused by the conferencing. Okay, well, we'll try and fix that. But right now we only have John on the phone. Okay, so now tell us something about how the book is set up. You have a bunch of different hackerspace projects, correct?
What I really wanted to do with the book was show the scene. I wanted to describe all these cool spaces. But, we kind of ended up deciding to feature some specific projects from each space. One or two, and there's one main one for each space, and there's 24 hackerspaces.
The book, there's 24 hackerspaces, but there's so many more in the country and the world now.
Oh, absolutely, yes. There's hundreds more. These are just ones that had some cool projects going on when I was doing my research. I discovered them, or were more some of the older ones, like Noise Bridge and NYC Resistor are a couple of the oldest hackerspaces in the country. And so it was natural for me to talk to the people there.
Interesting.
One of the things that's really impressing me as I'm looking through the book, John, is that you really give a worldwide perspective. You have spaces in Sweden and in Australia and all around the United States. And here's one in China. That you really get around with this book.
Yep, and there's one in Brazil. And I don't know if you got Tokyo as well. There are a whole bunch I missed. Like, I didn't include any from Germany, which is like the motherland of hackerspaces.
Yes, indeed. Have you been to all these hackerspaces?
Oh, no. I've just been to a couple. But I blog for Make Magazine, so I was exposed to a lot of projects of a similar bent beforehand. I knew kind of what was out there, and so I was able to do a lot of the research that way, just, you know, through the internet and interviewing people and stuff.
Very interesting. Now, Mike is going to pick a project at random, and we're going to focus on that. Rob, did you have something first?
Yeah, I also wanted to mention that there's a great intro. The book begins with a great intro on hackerspaces and what they're all about. So if you're not necessarily sure what this whole hackerspace deal is, even after listening to us, this book is a great sort of primer on the whole thing. And after that, it leads you to notes from a bunch of these different hackerspaces and the cool stuff they're working on. So it really covers everything. It's a beautiful book, very well illustrated, designed, full of great photos and great pictures and stuff. So,
okay, Mike, do you have a project?
Yeah, I mean, there's this one. This is a pinball game, which is from the Garoa Hacker Clube, I guess, in Brazil, and it's a handmade pinball game out of mostly wood and other materials, and it gives instructions. Well, not you know, like step by step instructions for how to make it, but it explains the parts that go into it and what it does. And then you know, in the same chapter, there's you know, there's information about the space, other smaller projects that they've done, and this is just in like 4 pages is all that information, and it goes on for, what is it, 26 of them.
So now somebody with this book would be able to use all the information in there to do this themselves?
Yeah, there's a wheelchair robot from Noisebridge. There's an Etch-a-Sketch projector from Hack Manchester, and it just keeps going.
Is that Manchester, New Hampshire, or Manchester, England?
Manchester, UK, yeah.
Okay, all right, yeah. Good. Nothing against Manchester, New Hampshire, but the Manchester, England, they've got a reputation that is amazing. Now, that's I guess I should mention now at this point. And by the way, Bernie, welcome back. We're going to try and see if you cause any more feedback. Are you there?
Sorry about that. Yeah, I wanted to say something really quick about this book.
Go ahead.
This book has really, it's like a world tour of hacker spaces, and it's also...
Yeah, I'm really sorry about this. I don't know what's...
It sounds like a train whistle.
It does. Maybe if we try calling him on a different line. Bernie, we're going to get back to you on a different line. How about that? All right. I'm sorry. We just can't subject our listeners to that. Let me just use this time, though, to say that as part of what we're giving away tonight, for a pledge of $75, you'll get an autographed copy of this book by John Batesel, with incredible hackerspace projects and a guide to hackerspaces all around the world. You'll get a sense as to the magnitude of just what it is that that's going on in the world. It's really kind of historic as far as a development of technology, development of hackers, and various things like that. So you'll get that. You'll get a signed copy of this brand new book. But you'll also get a couple of other really cool things. You'll get some Hope DVDs focusing on hackerspaces dating all the way back to 1997 at Beyond Hope. We had a talk by people at a group called The Loft, which was probably the most famous hackerspace in Boston. No longer around, but the people still are. But back in 97, yeah, and they were around before then as well. There's a talk from H2K2, how to start an IMC in your town. Now, indie media centers aren't really hackerspaces, but they share a lot of common attributes with them. And I thought that was something important to include here. But the Fifth Hope, there's a talk on building hackerspaces with many people back then who were part of hackerspaces around the world, taking part in discussion. That's back in 2004. And I guess the modern era of hackerspaces was more or less introduced around the time of The Last Hope, 2008. We have a talk, Building Hackerspaces Everywhere. Altogether, we have, I believe, 9 different DVDs all about hackerspaces throughout the years. Now, that's included for a pledge of $75, along with the book. Wait, we're not done yet. We also have something known as a hackerspace passport. Who would like to describe what a hackerspace passport is? Red Hack, this is your hackerspace passport. So
I acquired this last summer at the what was the name of the conference?
The CCC camp?
Yes, CCC camp.
Yes.
And these were made by Mitch Altman originally. I believe now another group has picked it up. But
And hopefully we'll have Mitch on in a little bit if it doesn't cause a tremendous wall of sound.
But basically the idea was that it would be a passport that you could take with you to different hackerspaces, to different events, and collect stamps as you visited these places. It's kind of a record of where you'd been.
You still need a regular passport to get into the country, though. It's important to point that out. I'm sorry we didn't do that in the past, but this will not get you into the countries where the hackerspaces are.
It looks a lot like a passport, but mm-hmm. I don't think it would pass the TSA's requirements. Especially since you can put your own picture in.
Many people do.
So the cover is basically, it says diplomatic passport, and it's got a soldering iron in the logo. And it really looks like a passport. And then the inside is printed beautifully in color, and it's got different logos for different hackerspaces. And
it's really something. Pages. It's a badge of honor to have this. Now, okay, let me just continue though with what we're offering. So we have this hackerspace passport. In addition to the Hack This Book, autographed by John Batesill, and the DVDs, the 9 DVDs from the various Hope conferences having to do with hackerspaces. And, Rob, what do you have over there? You've got a package of something?
I have got a package of something. I've got a package of stickers. And this is a selection of stickers that were graciously donated to us by a variety of hackerspaces all over the country.
Are they all from this country?
I do not know. Let's crack it open and take a look.
I think he's asking you a loaded question because you probably know the answer to that.
No, I don't know the answer
okay.
to it.
Okay, well, you can investigate the answer to this question.
Actually, I think Bernie knows the answer. Well, Bernie, if you promise not to cause more feedback, we're going to let you speak some more.
Okay, am I causing train whistles again?
Not yet. Not yet.
Hello? Okay, you can hear me. Good.
I hear you. Right. But there might be.
Yeah, I reached out.
Yeah, it's a higher pitch now. Man. I think the problem, maybe if both of you guys on the phone talk a little louder, maybe I won't have to pot it up so loud. I think that's what's causing the feedback. How about that?
Loudly. Can you hear me now?
I hear you now. And, John, okay. When you talk, maybe if you could talk a little louder, that might help. Might not, but...
There's about a dozen hackerspaces I reached out to, most of which are in the book that John wrote. And they were all really enthusiastic about this fundraising show and supporting WBAI and Off the Hook. And they offered to send us... a bunch of like tokens of appreciation. Primarily, these are stickers showing, their hackerspace logo. Some hackerspaces sent in buttons. The hackerspace in Australia sent us some laser cut keychains. Really cool stuff. And can I read the list really briefly?
Yeah. Well, apparently not without causing a noise, you can't, but let's read the list in just a moment. But that answers Mike's question about different countries, because Australia obviously is not in our country. So this is the kind of thing that you can put on your laptop. You can stick stickers on your laptop. You don't have to actually go to the hackerspaces in various parts of the world to be able to do this. You might be able to tell people that you did, though. Same thing with buttons and whatever else is in that package. So these four things, for a pledge of $75 right now to 212-209-2950, you'll get all of that. 212-209-2950. You'll get the book, you'll get the hacker passport, you'll get the DVDs, and you'll get the stickers and buttons from various hacker spaces all around the world. That is a great deal for $75. Now, we have another deal for $125 we're going to get into in just a moment, but Mike.
I mean, but you couldn't even get this. Forget about it being a great deal. It would be impossible to assemble this collection of the stickers in particular without traveling all around the world and going to every hackerspace and asking mm-hmm. for a sticker there. Not only is it a great deal, it's actually something that's possible by calling 212-209-2950. And the reason it's possible is because these hackerspaces and John and his publisher and you with the DVDs want to support this station, want us to stay on the air. And so they're really incentivizing our listeners to show their support as well. 212-209-2950. 100% of your donation goes to the station. We pay nothing for these premiums because people like John and all these hackerspaces want you to pledge.
Okay, I'm told that I should give out the $125 level as well. That way people know what they want to pledge, what they want to call in for. Okay, fine. We'll do that. But let me just reiterate again that we have four items for a pledge of $75 to 212-209-2950. You got the amazing Hackerspace book, Hack This, by John Batesill. that is a full color guide to hackerspaces around the world, as well as 24 projects that that you can undertake yourself and that you can inspire people in your neighborhood maybe to start a hackerspace or join the one that already exists there. You get that book autographed. You also get 9 DVDs with all kinds of information about hackerspaces from 1997 up until the present. You get the hackerspace passport, which you can put all kinds of stamps. You can show it around to your various friends. You can go to hackerspaces and impress people with that as well. It's really a cool thing to have. And you get the collection of stickers and buttons. And I think there's even a keychain in there somewhere. That's all for a pledge of $75. That's try beating that deal on any public radio station. I don't think you will. 212-209-2950. Okay, but now, in addition to all of that, for $125, you get something else. Well, what do you got there, Red Hack? You got... Okay, that sounded ominous. What do you have in your hand there?
I have a Kelvin 23 tool that was donated to us by ThinkGeek, right?
ThinkGeek. Those guys are cool.
Yeah.
They think and they're geeks, you know?
And it's a multi-purpose tool. It has screwdrivers. It has a hammer built into it.
Wow.
Level, measuring tape, all kinds of stuff. And it folds up into a nice little...
It's so compact. And how many tools are in there?
23.
20 tools. This is really funny because there's 24 projects in the book and there's 23 tools in this thing. Okay. And what else?
And it makes a nice click when you open the screwdriver part.
Yeah, that's really solid sounding. And what is that, a flashlight too?
Oh, there's a flashlight on it as well.
Oh my goodness. Wow, that's cool. What's that?
Can you hear those photons? Put it closer to the microphone.
Yeah, that's
there it is.
Okay, but that's not all. We have that. We're going to describe that a little bit more. But you have something there, Rob. What's that?
I have something else here too, and it's something that makes a noise like this.
That's the noise we heard at the beginning of the show. Now
that is.
What in God's name is that thing?
In anyone's name, this is a multimeter or a multimeter, depending on how you like to pronounce it, and. A multimeter is something that electronics enthusiasts basically need. It's very useful for working with various projects that involve electricity because you can measure resistance, you can measure voltage, you can test continuity, which is what the beep does. If you touch two things that are electrically connected, it will beep for you. You can do all of this in various levels of sensitivity and.
So we can, like, measure the resistance of my hand.
We can measure the resistance of Mike's hand.
Which is how much?
Which is...
I'm not hearing anything.
No, well, Mike's hand doesn't make a noise unless he hits you with it. But Mike's hand, the resistance of Mike's hand is round about 2.65 mega ohms.
Hmm. All right, so this is some heavy-duty stuff here. These are real tools. These are...
these are actual tools. And I will tell you, I use a multimeter in my daily life and in my day job and my, hobbies and everything. And this is a good one. There are bad ones out there, as techies know. There are terrible ones out there. And this is not one of them. This is a good one.
And who makes this one?
This is made by SparkFun.
SparkFun. Wow.
SparkFun.
So, okay. So now, in addition to all the things we mentioned before, you get these... two hacker tools, and they really are hacker tools because you can do all kinds of things with them for a pledge of $125. So you get 6 separate items for a pledge of $125 only for the next just a little over half an hour. 212-209-2950. The phone lines are completely open, and we have a limited number of these things. So make a call now. This is what we're offering tonight. It's really awesome. A lot of people came together to make these packages possible, and we'd like to see an enthusiastic response. 212-209-2950.
I should also mention something I'm really enthused about is this multimeter comes with a battery. A lot of them don't, and we actually used the multi-tool to put the battery in the multimeter, which was helpful. So, yes, great multi-tool, pocket-sized package that has 23 tools in it, and it's a solid piece of equipment. Made out of metal and hard plastic. It's a hammer. You know, you can hammer something into the wall with this. This is not something you could do with every pocket multi-tool. And lots of an arrangement of screw heads, a level measuring tape, a flashlight or a torch for our European listeners, and all of this. Plus the book, plus the stickers, plus the DVDs, That all of that can be yours for a $125 pledge at 212-209-2950.
It's almost too much to keep track of, but we are keeping track of it. As we mentioned earlier, we've already delivered the premiums from 2 weeks ago, so that means in a couple of weeks, these ones will be delivered to the radio station as well and very quickly sent out to you, but only if you give a call now before 8 o'clock to 212-209-2950 and get all of these amazing items, six different items, all of which are really cool for a pledge of $125 and four of them for a pledge of $75. 212-209-2950. A couple of calls on the line, but I know we have a lot more people down there ready to take phone calls. I know there are a lot of people out there that should be really enthused by this. Now, Bernie, I'm sorry we keep cutting you off. It's because of the horrible noise that emanates whenever you speak. But hopefully we can fix that now. And what would you like to add to this?
I wanted to say, and can you hear me okay?
Yes, maybe that's the problem. Don't ask. Just assume we can hear.
All right. All right. This book that that John Bachel wrote.
I am so sorry. I'll tell you what. When Bernie's talking, can we put John on hold? The problem seems.
Yeah.
It seems to happen when we have two people on the phone at once. These are advanced electronics here at the radio station. All right. We just have Bernie now. All right, Bernie. Talk as loud as you want now. I think maybe it'll work.
All right. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you see, this is the problem. Every time you ask, can I hear you, that's when the feedback starts. So just launch right in. Go ahead.
I should never say that then. Well, this book that John wrote is pretty amazing. It's like a world tour of hackerspaces. And it's kind of, I kind of get the joy reading it like I did when I was a kid reading Popular Science and Popular Mechanics and that later Make Magazine. You don't necessarily have to build all these things, but it really gets your creative juices flowing reading these dozens of really creative projects that were invented by people around the world at hackerspaces. And some of the hackerspaces that were really enthusiastic about this fundraising show and who donated items to give away are Temp Lab in Paris, Level One in Louisville, Kentucky, Alpha One Labs in Brooklyn, Hack Pittsburgh, which is surprisingly not in, it is in Pittsburgh. They have a cool button featuring a raised fist with a soldering iron. Pumping Station One in Chicago, Zhang Zhang. I don't know if I pronounced that properly, but it's the Beijing hackerspace. They're sending some stickers. The Perth Artifactory in Australia, the Hartford Hackerspace in Baltimore, Maryland, NoiseBridge in San Francisco, and NYC Resistor in Brooklyn, and the Hacktory in Philadelphia. You're getting something from something tangible from every one of these hackerspaces, most of which are featured in the book, and the digital multimeter from Spark Fund Electronics. They also were generous enough to donate all these hackerspace passports. They printed them to make sure that they're available. That's an open source project, by the way, this hackerspace passport. So anybody can get one of these. You can make your own, but you can just search hackerspace passport online and find out how to make your own if you want. But these are really cool looking. The multimeter is great. The Kelvin 23 all-in-one tool from ThinkGeek Electronics. This is an amazing package. I think this sets a record for Off the Hook and maybe WBAI for all the cool gear you get with pledging either $75 or $125 and calling 212-209-2950. It's a great value. It's a great way to support WBAI in this show.
Now, you may very well be right as far as the number of people that or number of different items that we're offering at the same time for people calling in, but It's not being matched by the number of calls coming in. Unfortunately, at the moment, we only have one call, and I know there are more people out there that would be interested in this, and we need to bring in a whole lot more than that if we're going to be able to continue in a couple of weeks with something else on this radio station as well. 212-209-2950. Bernie, maybe you can address why this might be something that someone who is not part of a hackerspace right now would be interested in getting.
It's inspiring. This book and all the tools, basically this is a complete package you can get to just start making stuff. The book has all kinds of plans in it to make all kinds of things, and it's sort of a tour of all these hackerspaces around the world. And you get most of the tools you need to make some of the stuff featured in the book. You get this digital multimeter for Spark Fund Electronics. You get this Kelvin 23 all-in-one tool, which is 23 tools from ThinkGeek.com. Great people there, too. And you're ready to go. You're ready to start making stuff. You're ready to start going around to different hackerspaces with your hackerspace passport and being part of this community. It's really an amazing way to get started. And if you're already started in this world, you're going to still love these toys and tools. It's great stuff. 212-209-2950.
And just to give you another taste of what this book is like, there's a section here about a project in a hackerspace near and dear to my heart. It's at Pumping Station 1 in Chicago, where I had the pleasure to visit, and it's a great place with some good friends of mine there. And they built a TARDIS photo booth. Now, the TARDIS is the time and space machine from the sci-fi series Doctor Who, and they built a replica of one. But it's not just that. It is... they figured they would make it functional, not as a time and space machine, unfortunately, but as a photo booth. And this section in the book, it talks about PS1. It talks about how that started. It talks about this project. It's not just a dry listing of like tools and ingredients and instructions on how to make this project. They tell you the story behind it. They tell you the people that came together to make it happen, the inspiration behind it, what they wanted to accomplish with it, great photos of the whole thing in process, and just some really great stuff. So even if you're not into building these projects, you read about them and you learn about the whole mentality behind this, behind the hackerspace, behind the hackerspace movement, behind the hacker mentality that made all this happen. So it's a real eye opener, and you don't have to be a techno geek to appreciate what's going on with these projects.
Now, Red Hack, you're looking at the book right now. Is there a particular project that is captivating your attention?
Oh, I was just looking at the project that he was talking about.
Really? Okay. let's talk a little more about these tools that you guys are playing with here. What are some other fun things that you can do besides measuring people's fingers or whatnot? It's
well, if we had any,
it's like
batteries,
a laboratory in here with all this.
It is.
A multimeter is basically a tool used for electronics projects, right? Mm-hmm. It's you're using it to check various voltages on your circuit and resistances and things like that, and also for the components that you're putting in, right? You could read the value on the resistor, or you could just test it. Yeah, so I mean, it's really essential for when you're putting things together, making sure you've made the right connections, that you haven't, missed anything, any solder joints or anything like that. So, I mean, it's good for that kind of project work.
Okay, I'm having some difficulty here because I see dead phone line. I don't see any calls coming in. Either this thing is broken and everything else needs to be broken so it's possible, or the enthusiasm that we're showing here on this radio station and throughout the whole hacker community is not reflected in the general population. And I don't know. I find that kind of hard to believe because people are always asking me about hacker spaces and the latest things that hackers are up to. So I know there's people out there that have to be interested in this, and we're offering you something that is really pretty incredible, both at the 75 and 125 level. Again, four different items ranging from an autographed book to a hackerspace passport to a DVD set to stickers and buttons. That's for a pledge of $75. All that in addition to two really cool and professional tools that you can use for all kinds of projects. All you got to do is call 212-209-2950, pledge 125 or 75, and you get all this. It's really cool. It's you're part of the community. You're part of the excitement of building and experimenting. That's what it's all about. That's what drives us. So maybe the transmitter's not working or something, but this enthusiasm is contagious everywhere I've gone. So I'm trying to wrap my head around why we're not getting a stronger response. Bernie, maybe you have a theory?
Well, I don't have a theory. I think something must be broken, but I'm hoping people in the tally room are busy and somebody can go down and check. But this is, I think, one of the most amazing premium packages we've ever offered on Off the Hook since 1988. This is an incredible collection of thank you gifts that we're giving to everybody who calls in and pledges support for this radio station, which is really an invaluable resource. 212-209-2950. The value of this stuff is really unparalleled in the kinds of fundraising premiums we've offered in the past. This is really some really tangible, useful, professional stuff. You would have to travel to hackerspaces around the world to get all these stickers and buttons and keychains, and this is great stuff. 212-209-2950.
And it's nice to have all the stickers and buttons and things like that, to show off and to sort of wear as a badge of honor. Same thing for the hackerspace passport. But these tools, they're real. I mean, maybe if you guys like built a robot or something by the end of the hour, can you build something that maybe will impress people? And have them realize that, we're not just making this up. This is real. These are real tools that, would impress people. I'm not a technical person myself. I don't build things. I can break things very easily, but I don't build things. But, this is what hackers and makers all around the world are doing. They're playing with these bits of basic technology But what's amazing about these two things that you get for a pledge of $125 in addition to everything else, is the versatility, the number of different, there's a tape measure in there. There's a tape measure. You just pulled a tape measure out of that, what do you call it? The Kelvin. Urban tool. Is that what it is?
The Kelvin 23, the Urban tool.
Yeah. Nodding on the radio doesn't work, but
Urban super tool.
All right. Very interesting. Now we have two calls on the line. That's great, but we have space for something like eight. We have a lot of people down there who are not doing anything, and we want them to be busy. We want to be able to bring calls in. We need to bring in well over $1,000 during this hour, and we only have 21 minutes of it left. So please, 212-209-2950. Let me point out, even if we weren't giving away anything, and there are stations that do this, there are stations that just say, please support us because we're here, we're on the FM dial. It's expensive to run a transmitter and to pay the electric bill and all that. Please support us if you want us to continue. And they get phone calls. Look at all the stuff that we've gotten based on talking to people all over the world, all of whom share the enthusiasm of WBAI. John Batesell has donated copies of his book. We have hackerspaces all over the place sending us things. We've got ThinkGeek and what was the other one again?
Spark Fun,
yes. Sending us these items, really incredible items. So they get it. And all we're asking is that you think for a moment about whether your life has been improved by WBAI, by Off the Hook. And if so, consider calling 212-209-2950.
And you wanted to know if we could build something. I'll tell you what we're building right now. We're building a future for this radio station and this community and this particular program, because that's something that we can't do just with a hand tool. That's something that we can only do with our listeners. As I really like saying on these things, because it bears repeating, this is the only way that the station stays on the air. We don't have bake sales. We don't have, we don't do anything else. We don't sell things to you. The only thing that keeps us going is the direct support of our listeners. And that's the only thing that has kept this station on the air for 50 years. So it's you. If you're hearing this, it's you.
212-209-2950. We're going to go to a special guest in a moment, but I want to get one more phone call coming in. We've got two on the line now. That's good. Thank you for those two people. But we should have a lot more. Please, 212-209-2950. And Rob, I admire the way that you ducked my challenge to build something. But I mean it. I mean, you guys have some pretty impressive tools here. If you can't build something, can you at least take something apart? Because, I mean, that shouldn't be as hard, but you can do all kinds. These things should concern anyone in authority. If a school kid comes in with one of these,
why?
Because they can do almost anything with them.
And what's the problem with that?
There was no problem with that in my view, but in the view of somebody in authority, they might have a different opinion.
I mean, but what Rob said is true. WBAI, we're not selling you anything. We're not selling. Other radio stations are selling their listeners as the commodity to advertisers.
Right, exactly.
And here you are, the sole source of support for the station. You're not being sold by us to advertisers. You are just supporting a station that's here that presents alternative viewpoints and alternative shows and things that you just don't hear on other radio stations because they're not interested in hosting those kinds of
even this would be considered too controversial. We've talked about way controversial things where we're coming up against governments and police and things like that. We're talking about building and creating, but even that just doesn't work for commercial radio. It doesn't bring in the advertising dollars.
Exactly. Advertisers aren't interested in advertising on stations that they view as controversial.
Every time you listen to anything on a radio station, a commercial radio station, whether it be a newscast, whether it be a song, it's all to sell commercials. That's what it's all about. And you know what? You wind up paying for those commercials. Every time you buy something, you're paying for a commercial because it's factored into the product that you buy. You don't get a choice there. Here, you're making the decision to call 212-209-2950 and pledge whatever you can afford, but get some amazing things in return. The most amazing thing, of course, is WBAI. But we're just showing our enthusiasm by going around making phone calls, and Bernie did a lot of the legwork here, finding all this material. And that's what it's all about. That's the enthusiasm that makes everything we do possible, from conferences to magazines to radio shows to various campaigns, whether it's fighting SOPA or helping get somebody out of prison that should not be there, all kinds of things that we're called upon to take action about in the hacker community. That's what drives us, that level of enthusiasm. Please join the people who are calling in now, 212-209-2950.
We have another special guest on the line. Mitch Altman is here, I think.
Okay, hopefully Mitch won't cause ghastly feedback. But Mitch, are you with us?
I am not going to cause ghastly feedback, just feedback of the positive sort.
Okay. All right. Well, this is good. This is good. So, Mitch, tell us something about the Hackerspace passports. Now, I think those were your invention, right?
Yeah. It was my creation with the help of Matthew Borgatti, who did the brilliant artwork in them. I've had this idea for a while, and I decided for Chaos Congress, where it was pretty much the birth of the hackerspace movement 4.5 years ago in 2007, where there was a presentation on how to start your own hackerspace that really started it all off. And now there's over 900 hackerspaces either existing or forming. And, and I started NoiseBridge with the help of my friend Jake, and a bunch of people started hackerspaces in other places. And this served as an example all around the world that this stuff is way cool and it works. So, it's really taken off. And I thought it would be appropriate to have some kind of a gesture at the most recent Chaos Camp, which was this summer, to, commemorate that. And I wanted to encourage people and make it fun to visit hackerspaces everywhere. So when I travel outside of our illustrious land, I have to carry a passport with me. And this is sort of an impediment to visiting other places rather than an encouragement. And I wanted to turn that on its head. So these passports, you don't need to fingerprint yourself to go into another land. You don't need to get your photo taken in order to go to another hackerspace. You just bring your hackerspace passport with you, and you can get it stamped with a visa, in quotes, anywhere you go, and then you can show it off and see where you've been and compare notes with other hackers who go places. I made 2,600 of them, appropriately enough.
Huh.
They went instantly, and they're totally open source. You can download them for free online, do whatever you want with them, print your own, and that's what SparkFun did. And I would have gladly donated more when Bernie called me to ask, but I'm totally out, so that's why I suggested SparkFun, and they were gracious enough to do that to support the wonders of WBAI and Off the Hook, where you can get incredible programming for us and not for advertisers.
That's right. Now, again, you get the Hackerspace passport. You get the collection of 9 Hackerspace-related DVDs over the years. You get the collection of stickers and buttons and keychains from hackerspaces all around the world. And you get an autographed copy of Hack This, the amazing book by John Batesel that came out very recently concerning hackerspaces and hacker projects. That's for a pledge of $75. For $125, you get all that plus the 2 amazing hacker tools that are really heavy-duty professional in quality. You get a multimeter. And you get the, I keep forgetting what you call the other one, the urban, I can't read that, the Kelvin 23, just tell me.
Oh, no, that side's in French. Urban Super Tool.
Urban Super Tool. it really is a super tool, because what you guys have been doing with it, it's like a cartoon thing where it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and does other things. And I expect it to come to life at any moment. 212-209-2950. So you get all of that for a pledge of $125. Again, we're only offering this tonight. In 13 minutes, we're not going to be offering it anymore. It's as simple as that.
I was just going to say, there's 13 minutes left to get this premium package. 212-209-2950. And it's really amazing to me that all these people came together to donate all these things. Even if you have no interest in hackerspaces, if you think you'll never go to a hackerspace, you can look through the book. You can, maybe it'll change your mind, but even if it doesn't, there's all these cool projects. You get the tools to help you build these projects. Even if you hate hackerspaces, it's a good deal. And you get to keep us on the air. You get to keep the station on the air. 212-209-2950. And if you love hackerspace as well, there's all the more reason to pledge. You can use the stickers to pretend you've gone to all these hackerspaces. You can use the passport when you actually go to all these hackerspaces. You can watch the DVD talks that will tell you how to form your own hackerspace. Mm-hmm. And, it's confusing. I get that it's confusing for our listeners, all this stuff you get. I had to make all kinds of notes.
It's simple because it's you get a lot of cool things if you give a call, and you get a radio station, which is awesome. And all you got to do is call 212-209-2950. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of detail. There are a lot of very interesting and intricate things that are a part of this world, but the basic premise is quite simple. Support us and we'll still be around. That's what it's all about. 212-209-2950.
I was going to say that.
Oh, you were going to say that? Okay, yeah. I just said it a little faster then. I talked to Kyle at HackerBot Labs in Seattle. He's on the show frequently, and every time I talk to him about what they're doing over there, I'm just blown away by the level of sophistication and the various projects that they're embarking in. Same thing when I talk to people at different hacker spaces. It's like, wow, you can really do that. You can build this kind of a thing. The imagination is the only limit, and it's virtually no limit at all. And that's the freedom that comes from something like this. Now, you might be inspired by getting this book and going through it and seeing what people are doing around the world. You might be inspired to start your own hackerspace, or at least to look around and see if there are other people in your neighborhood that are part of it. And then the things that you create can be historic, can be really liberating and just inspirational to so many people. But you'll never know unless you take that first step and start investigating, start looking into it. And one way to do that is to call 212-209-2950, show your support for this place so we can continue talking about this and many other topics in the years ahead. 212-209-2950. We have two levels of support, 75 and 125, and all kinds of hackerspace-related items will be coming your way very quickly. If you give a call, 212-209-2950. Now, Mitch, something you mentioned, I just want to touch upon, because you talked about the proliferation of hackerspaces throughout the world. And, when you said that, it almost sounded scary. It almost sounded like these things are popping up so quickly that the authorities simply have no way of controlling it, and the level of enthusiasm is just going through the roof. Is this something that the people in control should be worried about?
No, absolutely not. It's very positive for everybody. This hackerspace movement is creating more opportunities for more people, to explore and do what they love. That's what happens at hackerspaces. And, it's not anything that, I don't know, authority figure, why would they care about people exploring and doing what they love? If someone cares about that, then they probably have some personal problems to look at.
Well, yeah, I'm sure that's possible. Okay, we have five calls on the line. That's great. So we want to thank those people for calling in, and please keep the calls coming in. We're only on for a few more minutes, but we do need to have a strong showing tonight, as we're not on next week. We weren't on last week, and usually we're on every week. We want to continue that, but you can't run a radio station on magic alone. There's lots of magic in this place, but we need to have listener support to continue going, and we need to know that the listeners support what it is we're doing. And it's great to know that you're out there. And certainly, if the listener support matches the support of people like John Batesill and ThinkGeek and SparkFun and Mitch and Bernie and everybody else out there, we'll be in great shape if listener support matches that level of support. Let's say thanks to some of our listeners who have already called in.
Yes, we have a few listeners who we'd like to thank Rohan from Port Jefferson, New York,
Michael from Chicago, Illinois.
And you've
and Nalini from Fresh Meadows, New York.
And we'd also like to thank everyone who pledged and who would rather not be thanked live on the air, and everyone who's pledging now, who we don't have time to read, and everyone else. Thank you so much.
Now, I should point out that we take all credit cards, and that a shipping and handling charge may be added to your pledge as well, just to cover those costs. But what you're getting is simply an incredible deal, and well worth the phone call, 212-209-2950. We have five calls on the line. That's really cool. I think if we get another three, that will keep everybody in that room busy. John, we haven't heard from you in a while, and I apologize for that, because we've just been so busy here playing with these toys and talking about all these things. But Is there something you'd like to add to all of this, as far as just the proliferation of hacker spaces and the general feeling in the world about these things?
Well, I'm really excited about how the scene is just exploding. Not to use that word again, the 4.5 years ago, the lecture that was given on how to start your own hackerspaces, like, it started this really cool movement. And, as Mitch said, we're looking at 900 spaces right now planned or in existence. That's just really amazing.
It really is. And Mitch, on that subject, you mentioned that this movement more or less started right around 2007, 2008. But I'm looking here at our DVD collection. I'm seeing talks by The Loft in 1997. I'm seeing a talk about building hackerspaces in 2004. There were hackerspaces around before then. So what changed in the mid-2000s that made it all, again, to use the word, explode?
Yeah, you know, it didn't happen, the talk in 2007 didn't happen out of nowhere. There's been a lot of work by a lot of people, including Loft and Hacker Halfway House and a bunch of others, that laid the groundwork. But, you know, the Make magazine started at around 2005 because there was a huge proliferation of people sharing projects on the internet and showing that there's really a huge number of people, no one knew how many back then, that are really interested in getting together and collaborating on projects and not just individual geeks at home alone, as was presumed all along before. And the hackerspaces, the early hackerspaces, were mostly incredible software geeks that were doing things with software only, and there was a lot of suspicion on what they were doing, so people were kind of secretive. They didn't let just anybody in. But when it was seen on the internet that there was really a huge community of people wanting to get together to do a huge diversity of things, that started creeping itself into hackerspaces, mostly in Germany, which is why the German hackers presented How to Start Your Own Hackerspace in 2007, and Nick Farr did Hackers on a Plane to Chaos Camp that summer for Chaos Camp, and a bunch of people from North America were there and were totally enthused with the idea of what life might be like if there was this kind of community in their own hometown all day and all night, all year round. And, man, we started hackerspaces, and then, like I said, that was a model for other people to see. It really does work, and it's incredibly cool, and we get to have community. Mm-hmm. We get to express ourselves through our creativity, and, yeah.
It really is amazingly cool, and what you're seeing here, you're seeing a movement. It's beyond the birth. It's really in the growing stage now. It's a movement exploding. I hate to keep using that word, but it really does match here. It's just it's spreading all over the world, even in totalitarian countries. You have hackerspaces, which is an incredible feat in and of itself. And you know, I just got to say, in the closing moments here, this is our home stretch. We've been so distracted, Red Hack, you particularly, because you've been reading the damn book the whole hour and playing with the tools that we have here. So you haven't really said much, but I think that level of enthusiasm that you're showing,
you know,
is exactly what we're talking about.
There's just a lot of cool projects in this book. There's in beyond the projects, there's just little notes about various parts of the hackerspace culture, and you know, I saw a little fact on Club Mate in there, and you know, so there's just all different things about different kinds of tools that are in use, etc. I mean, it's just really, really interesting book.
212-209-2950 is our phone number. We only have a couple of minutes left. In fact, the personal computer people are already here breathing down my neck. They're they really want to get on the air. And what's going to happen is at 8 o'clock, they're going to be offering their own unique, interesting premiums, because that's how radio works here. We all do our own thing, and we work together and build a community. But here, for this hour, we're running out of time. We only have a couple of minutes left. 212-209-2950, two pledge levels, 75 and 125 for an amazing plethora of hacker tools.
So the takeaway is you have like 2 minutes, 20 seconds to get these premiums. Mm-hmm. 212-209-2950 and keep us on the air.
And you would not find this stuff all at once at any price, I don't think, anywhere. The stickers from all over the world, the book by John Batola and Q Publishing, the great tool from SparkFun, and the Hackerspace Passport, and the other great tool from ThinkGeek. All these people came together to support our show, to support us, to support the station, and you can too. And this can all be yours. 212-209-2950.
And if you could find all of this, the amount of effort you would spend doing it probably would exceed the amount that you would pledge to get it here at WBAI. 212-209-2950. Join the two people on the phone right now. Last few minutes, please show your support for Off the Hook. Show your support for WBAI. Show your support for Hackerspaces. John Bateso, I want to thank you so much for writing the book, for donating the book, just for being a voice in this movement. I think it makes a huge difference.
Yes, and thanks for having me on. I'm a big fan of the show.
All right. It's great to talk to you again. Hope we see you at the Hope Conference this July. Mitch, same for you. Thanks so much for everything that you've done and are continuing to do in the community.
Yeah, you're very welcome. It's been great being on the show again.
Okay. And
John's book is called Hack This.
Yes.
For people who are like listening in the future and can't pledge.
Right.
Maybe if you're listening in the present and you can pledge, you should just.
If you're listening in the present and you can pledge, please pledge. Please pledge now. That's hard to say. All right, listen, we're going to get out of here because we're late. Here's Lou Reed to help us out. Good night.
I was sleeping, gently napping, when I heard the phone. Who is on the other end talking? Am I even home? Did you see what she did to him? Did you hear what they said? Just a New York conversation rattling in my head. Oh my, and what shall we wear? Oh my, and who really cares? Just a New York conversation, gossip all of the time. Did you hear who did what to whom? Happens all the time. Who has touched and who has dabbled here in the city of shows? Openings, closings, bed repartee, everybody knows.
All right, everybody knows. This is WBAI New York 99.5 FM, also streaming on the web at WBAI.org. Today is February the 15th, 2012. Sorry to say we have the passing of the great Whitney Houston, but it being 8 o'clock on Wednesday, it's time for the Personal Computer Shoe. Yes, it is. And here we go.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. This is Joe King, and welcome to the Personal Computer Show here on WBAI. With me in the studio tonight is Hank Key. Of course, Stevie DB is behind the console. Coming to us from the West Coast is the dulcet tunes of Doctor, no, you're not a doctor. You're just, oh, that's who it is. David Perry.
That's a hair doctor to you.
Who's president.
Doctor.
No, President David Perry. Who are you president of? Are you in
GDF.
Washington?
I'm in Huntington Beach, California, dude.
Oh, you're not in Washington, dude. But you're president.
Right. No, I am president, right? And don't call me President Perry.
Why?
Because just the phrase President Perry strikes fear into my bones.
I could call you Governor Perry.
POTUS Perry.
POTUS Perry?
I got a better one. Dude.
President of the stuff.
President of GDS.
Of GDS. GDS is the sole and exclusive agent for G-Data Software, which is a German company, AG, that makes some antivirus software that we talked about earlier, and I don't want to sound like an advertisement, because this is WBAI Radio.
And we
New
are
York.
Non-commercial. Our guest, or one of our guests tonight, and we'll be talking to him very, very shortly, is Wayne Rush. And Wayne is going to talk to us about something that's dear to everybody's heart, apples. And a little bit later in the show, we're going to be hearing from Marty Winston, who will be talking to us about something that's dear to my heart, work.
I love work. I could watch people doing it all day.
Exactly. Hank, why don't you get us started tonight? Because we've got a lot to talk about, and let's talk about it.
Well, what's happened in the last week, actually the last two or three weeks, is that the New York Times had written a rather scathing article about the fact that the working conditions in the manufacture of Apple products is really not satisfactory at all, where people working long hours, they're standing up all that time, they're working, it's claimed that some of them are underage, some of them are not getting the proper breaks. But let's put it this way, it definitely was not complimentary at all, and I had said to Joe when we first read the article, yeah, but you know, with Apple, it's a religion, and you think people really care whether or not, where it's manufactured and how it's manufactured. And much to our surprise, last week there were demonstrations Now, not big demonstrations, but, you know, a couple dozen people in this store and that store, and about a quarter million signatures that were gathered online.
Hank, I want to interrupt you just for a second to put that into perspective. And I think, Wayne, you're on with us now, aren't you?
Yes, I think I'm here. I'll check.
Okay. Hank, there was about a quarter of a million signatures on those petitions you're talking about. Wayne, how many Apple products would you say were manufactured in the Foxconn factories that have been sold into America? 50 million?
Oh, no, it's probably more than that if you count all of time in which they've happened. It's tens of millions.
So tens and tens of millions, and a lousy 100,000 people signed the petition. Hank, I did my own.
We should never call a couple hundred thousand lousy. You know, if you want to say a couple of hundred thousand, fine, but don't ever call a group protesting lousy, okay?
Well, the protesting people are not lousy, but in comparison to the
lousy 200.
I did my own survey, and I did it the same way I always do. That's a very valid survey. I spent a fortune doing it. On the elevator going down from my apartment, every time I saw somebody using an Apple product on the elevator, I asked the following question: if you knew that that was made by slave labor, would you not have bought it?
Well,
and I'm not saying it was. I'm saying if you knew that was made of slave labor, would you have bought it? And they said to me, "What are you talking about? It's an Apple. Go away. Don't bother me."
Well, what happened? Let me just continue with this. All right, is that Foxconn is their major manufacturer. They do have other companies manufacturing products for them, and Foxconn is not devoted to only Apple products itself. About 40% of their manufacturing is related to Apple products. The other 60% are for other manufacturers. The second largest is HP with 25%.
Well, yes, but that's – Wayne, would you like – everybody complains that I always yell at Hank, so would you like to take it from there?
Well, I don't know. Does that mean you're going to yell at me?
No, wait. let me finish this. Wait, let me finish my point, Joe, okay? Is that Tim Cook, who's the Apple CEO, he's very sensitive to it, and let's give him credit for it. And he's made the announcement that they're going to have some outside auditors called the Fair Labor Association, which is based in Washington, to do an audit. Now, the question that comes up, and that's why we got Wayne on the phone, is how fair is this audit going to really be? Is it sort of like, I remember in the old days, I used to bring in consultants to do a job, and they would say, "What do you want me to say?" And I would tell them what to say.
A fair is a place that grown men go to throw cow chips for distance.
So Fair Labor Association, do you think they're going to come up with a fair assessment, Wayne?
You know, under the conditions in which they're working, probably not. First of all, they're going to show up in China and they're going to say, "Hi, we're from Washington and we're here to help." That will immediately strike terror into the Chinese. But the fact is that one-time inspections by foreigners dropping in out of nowhere almost never give you a fair assessment. There's really, it reminds me of when I was in the military. You knew when the general was going to come or when the admiral was going to come and inspect you, and you made sure everything was shined up and working perfectly within an inch of his life. Well, the same thing is going to happen here. They will find only a few imperfections, just the ones that Foxconn wants them to find, and they will go away and say, "Hey, everything is just peachy keen." But in reality, I'm sorry.
Wayne, this is David on the West Coast. I've been to a couple of Chinese factories. How different do you think from Asian manufacturing in general?
You know, I don't think Foxconn is that much different from Asian manufacturing in general. I think the real issue here isn't what Foxconn is doing, although Foxconn is not as worker-friendly as some other factories. For example, Motorola, which owns its own factories and uses its own employees, uses its same employee practices in China that it does everywhere else. But the fact is that, you know, it's not that different from other Asian factories. What's really the difference is that Apple has held itself up as being a paragon of excellence in how it treats its workers. And the fact is that even though it tells the world through its standards of practice for its contractors that it must be done that way, the fact is, it's not. And that was really...
Has Apple held itself up as that? Working in the industry, Apple's reputation is that it's a shark tank where you will get it jettisoned when they've drained you dry.
Well, Apple's reputation in the industry may be that way, but that's not what Apple says. Apple says, if you look at their corporate responsibility page, gives you all this about how they insist on all this level of behavior from their contractors, and it doesn't get delivered that way.
Well, let me ask you this, Wayne. With the, do you think that this demonstration that occurred last week is just really something that's going to just come and go, and everyone will forget about it?
You know, it's hard to say. If Apple actually takes it seriously, Apple has it within its power to solve this problem. In my column, I made a suggestion that they do as the government does and as a number of other big companies in the U.S. do, who have corporate control over some contractor who does work for them and have an on-site presence. You know, if you're in the government contracting business, it's not at all uncommon to have somebody from the agency that is hiring you on-site all the time. And if Apple really wanted to make sure that everything was done according to its corporate standards, they could do that too. It's not that expensive, it's not that hard, and it's not a secret.
Yeah, but a New York Times journalist, and I won't identify him because I really disagree with him, what he says is that if you were to have it done the right way, Apple will have to charge a much higher price, and the public is not going to pay or tolerate it because you really, you know, the profit margins are thin.
Let me interrupt that. Hold on 1 second, please. Apple right now has the highest profit margins of any company in the business. To put it